podcast which looks at the game of golf in general, but the mental game of golf in particular. I say that every week, and I imagine if you are a regular listener, you know what the podcast is about. But I kind of do that for the benefit of those of you who are new to it. So, after last week's review of the Ryder Cup, which, as we all can agree, is just wonderful drama, irrespective of which side of the fence you may sit on. I've always loved the Ryder Cup for a number of reasons. One, I think you're not playing for money, you're playing for pride. You're playing for other people. So it's not a case of saying, oh, well, if I lose, I lose. It's like saying, well, if I lose, you know, I'm letting down 11 other people who are sort of have great faith in me. But the thing about it that I really particularly like is that I believe, and I've always said this, I'm not sure if people necessarily agree with me, is every shot counts. And therefore, every shot has the ability to be responsible for the winning or the losing of a hole. And any lost hole could be the difference between a one-up win or a one-up loss. And any one-up win or loss could be the difference between 14.5 points and 13.5 points. So from that perspective, it's incredibly exciting, and the pressure is constant. And that's why when I watch the US Open or the British Open, the Open Championship, I stand corrected. I'm sure some people will write in to tell me. And particularly the Masters, which I think is, as a spectacle, is unbeatable in major golf. If a player hits a bad drive, we don't sense any big, oh no, but in the Ryder Cup we do. So it got me to thinking this week, it would be good to look at pressure, in particular pressure on the golf course, and how do we manage it? And over the years and years that I've been reading and writing, and in particular researching, I've spoken to so many golfers, and I always ask them if they could wish for one thing, what would it be? And I would say, you know, people will often say, I'd like to be a better putter, I'd like to be straighter off the tee. But in terms of the mental game, the one thing that people would say to me more often than not is, I'd like to not choke, or I'd like to manage or overcome pressure on the golf course. And it always kind of puzzles me a little bit, because it's as though they think there is a hidden secret to the mental game, as though there might be a hidden secret to the mechanical game. People look and they go, well, look, if I could just manage the pressure, I'd be so much more successful. And there are a lot of, not a lot, but I've met caddies on the PGA Tour, charming young fellas, and or older fellas, who were star golfers at college, but they said they couldn't take it onto the first tee. So the pressure overwhelmed them. Now, is this the result of an overactive imagination? Is it the result of an overly sensitive nervous system? And, you know, the jury might be out in that. So when people say to me, I'd like to be better under pressure, I have, there's often a lot of advice I can give them. And there's a couple of quick fixes. So in this podcast today, I was thinking to discuss, you know, what can you do, irrespective of where you are in your golfing ability. So if you're just taking the game up and you're getting ready to play your first couple of rounds with friends and you're very nervous about that, or if you're a professional who's desperately trying to make the cut at the next tournament to make sure you can pay your mortgage, the information I'm about to give you I think will be equally useful. And the other thing about it is I really believe it can be equally applicable, which means that you can apply it right away. You don't have to go sit cross-legged on a mountain in Scotland, which, you know, would be fun, but in wintertime, I'm not so sure. But the ability to trust in the recommendations is a key part of it. You know, I often use the example of that. I talk in golf a great deal about the importance of confidence and why confidence is important, because it's about believing in yourself, and believing in yourself based on the evidence around you. It's not having some sort of borderline hallucination where you imagine yourself to be a great golfer, but you don't have the mechanical skill to deliver on that belief. No, true confidence is you believe the abilities that you have are good enough to get the results that you want. And that is a sort of big thing altogether. So let's look at pressure for a start. You know, what is pressure? Well, I think most of us will agree. Pressure is when we find ourselves in a position where the outcome of the shot is very, very important. And therefore, a good outcome is infinitely more desired than a poor outcome. When this happens, we become quite focused. And our focus generally goes to the negative emotion. And this is, for most people, something they can't do. And they say, well, I can't overcome the fact there's water down the left or there's out of bounds down the right. I don't want the ball to go there, but I can't stop thinking about it. And I say, of course, you can't stop thinking about it, but you have to learn how to do so. And at the heart of Silent Mind Golf, it's all about thinking, or to be more precise, not thinking at a critical moment. You do come across golfers who will say to you, and I love these guys, they'll say to me, Robin, you know, I play better when I'm under pressure. And I love the quote by Ray Floyd, who says, anyone who says they play better under pressure has never been under real pressure. I'm not sure if it was Ray Floyd or another professional who said every tour professional has two swings. One they play with throughout the season and one they save for the last five holes of a major when they've got a one-stroke lead. So from my experience with pressure, or how do we manage pressure, there's sort of three takeaways I want to talk about today. The first one is focus. Too often, when we have a pressure shot, we focus on the negative. We focus on what could go wrong. Now, our brains, for all their genius sophistication that evolution has put into our brain, is still based on one formal sort of thing, which is keeping you free from danger, which is why it always alerts you to danger. So when you're walking through the forest and you hear a noise, you're alerted to the possibility that noise might be a wild animal. When you walk into a bar in a foreign city, you're suddenly alerted to the six guys standing with a collection of handguns, baseball bats and machetes, because your brain's going, that could be bad for me. And it comes down to the basic instinct when you're, you know, getting into a taxi or you're buying or selling something. You have this inherent sense of, I don't know if I trust this person. And that's your brain alerting you to danger. So that whole thing is about helping you. When it comes to golf, it doesn't help you. It's good that you acknowledge there's an out of bounds on the right and there's water on the left. It's good that you acknowledge that it's 210 yards uphill, and on your best day, you'd struggle to do that. But if that becomes your focus, that's going to become your outcome. Nine times out of ten, as I like to say, where the thinking goes, the swing flows. And it is remarkable how lifelong faders of the ball can hit a snap hook when there's water down the left and look at me and go, I've never done that before. Trust me, you probably have. So the first thing I'd like to talk about is, when it comes to a pressure situation, is focus 100% on the outcome you want. That's it. It really is. But focus on it with a feeling of, yeah, good, that's where it's going to go. Don't entertain negative thoughts. And that is hard. So I'm the first to tell you, it'd be great if that was easy. If I just said, oh, look, all you got to do is just think positively, look at the target, and it's going to work out. Yeah, great. And we only have to look back at the Ryder Cup and the first afternoon when Justin Rose went out with Bob McIntyre. Now, Bob McIntyre was in the European team. I think he was ranked 55 in the world. It was his first Ryder Cup. And when he walked onto the tee, I remember looking at him and thinking, boy, he looks tight. And he'd had that stare of someone walking into, stepping up to the hangman's noose. I thought he'd play great, and I'm a big fan of Bob McIntyre's. I just think he is a fantastic, fantastic player. And if you saw him play at the Scottish Open and the shot he hit to the 72nd hole from the light rough with a hybrid to 2 feet. It was the stuff of world class. So do not let me for a second give you the impression that I think Bob McIntyre is not anything other than a great player. But when you put someone under a level of pressure, as Ray Floyd says, real pressure, then it's very important to manage it. And the first thing you need, and he hit a great drive, and Justin Rose put his arm around his shoulder and said, "You'll be fine, this will all be over in 2.5 minutes. They'd played together a lot, so seeing Justin there would have helped his confidence. So to focus on what you want and not focus on what you don't want is the first thing I encourage all my players to do when it comes to managing pressure. The second thing I do is I talk a great deal about acceptance. Because in the course of a game of golf, you're going to hit some poor shots. It's just a fact of life. Now, the fewer poor shots you hit, obviously the better. But if you look again, I can use the Ryder Cup as an example because we're all familiar with it being so recently. If you look at every player, and I watched all the TV coverage I could. I didn't see every shot by every player, but I saw every player at some point hit a bad shot. hit a shot which was just not ideal. Some went into the water, some went into deep rough, some ran over the back of the bunker. And what was interesting is none of them, from what I saw on the television coverage, banged or thumped the club because it happens. Now, you don't want it to happen in a Ryder Cup or on the final of your club championship or when you're 3 holes away from playing the best round of golf of your life, but it happens. And if you can't accept that, it's going to make you upset, angry, frustrated. So your focus has now gone away from playing golf to anger. And I think I've said this 100 times, I have never met anyone in the world who performs better when they're angry. Now, interestingly, after the incident with Rory McIlroy, where he said he was really angry, and it said it fired him up. It fired him up the next day. It didn't fire him up there and then on the golf course. And I really believe that. I think he used it as fuel, and I would have recommended if I was working with him or anyone, I'd say use it. And he said, and he took it to the team and said, not only was I disrespected, the whole team was disrespected. So they were able to use that, but not to play in anger, but to use that frustration to move them forward. So going back to the first 2 points I've made, one is to focus on what you want, not what you don't want. Now, you might have a 2.5 foot downhill putt. You don't want to miss it. But if you do miss it, accept it and move on. And the third and the final thing, and I talk to people a lot about this, is and it's amazing how well it works. It really is amazing. And yet people go, what? Is to slow down. I mean, genuinely to slow down. When we're tense, and especially when we're anxious or fearful, which are all components of pressure, what we do is adrenaline goes into the blood system. And when adrenaline goes into the blood system, you know what happens? Our heart beats faster. Our breathing becomes faster and shallower. The blood moves away from the externals, from our hands and our feet, and around the major organs, because the body is preparing for fight or flight. And at that moment, we are coursing with adrenaline, and it's got nowhere to go, because on a golf course, we're not in a fight, we're not running. And it can overwhelm us. And the way to decrease the amount of sort of adrenaline in the system is deep breathing. And by walking slowly, you're telling the brain, I'm in control. And if you start getting faster and faster, which players do, I remember when a long time ago, I think it was at Turnberry when Greg Norman won the Open Championship, his caddy said to him, walk with me. Because Greg was flying up the fairways. So those three things, I think, as an immediate application will definitely help you manage the pressure. You're not going to overcome pressure. So let's be clear about this. You're not going to overcome it, but you're going to learn to, you know, I like to use the expression, make friends with it. And some people go, I don't want to make friends with pressure. But be comfortable with pressure. And it's a little bit like years ago when I took up skydiving. I had a sort of inherent fear of heights. And for the first 10 jumps, I remember getting through them and passing the tests unbelievably because I'd rehearsed so much on the ground what I had to do. But for the next 10 jumps, every flight altitude, I was so nervous. And then eventually, I remember being in a plane with this guy and he'd like 5,000, 6,000 jumps. And we're going to altitude and I turned around to him and I said, I asked him where he was from. And then I said, oh, you look as though you've done a lot of skydiving. And he said he'd done about 5,000 jumps. And I said, well, do you still get nervous? And he went, oh yeah, every time. But I've learned to make friends with it. You know, I recognize that I'm nervous, but that doesn't mean something bad's going to happen. It just means I'm fully alert and aware. And I'd like you to think like that. When you find yourself nervous, tell yourself, I am fully alert. I'm fully aware of what needs to be done. Now, I need to use this to my advantage, not my disadvantage. And I think that comes back to focusing on the shot you can play and where you want the ball to go. And also accepting the outcome. And now, look, I don't want you to hit a bad shot, and I don't want to hit a bad shot. But if I get angry as a consequence of a shot not working out as I want, nobody plays better when they're angry. Now, you might step onto the next tee and hit the longest drive of your life, and you might smash something at 220 yards with your 4-iron. But that's a one-off. That's a 1-in-10 shot. It's not going to serve you in the long term. So that's what I'd like you to think about if you really want to sort of learn to manage pressure. Because I was going to call this podcast How to Overcome Pressure, but that would have been false trading because I don't think any of us overcome it. You know, we learn to live with it, be comfortable with it. You look at John Ram, you look at McElroy, you look at Patrick Cantlay, phenomenal pressure. And they were managing it and they were comfortable with it. And what many of the players say afterwards is, oh, the relief, it's over. You know, so something to think about. Well, that's it for this week. We're coming to the winter season, and I would really encourage any of you who are very keen to learn more about mastering the mental game of golf to visit seagergolf.com. We have a number of online programs there, and the people who have taken the 13-week program have written to me telling me how quickly they saw an improvement and how much more they've enjoyed the golf. And at the end of the day, that's what I want from my clients, it's for my family, my friends. I want us to enjoy our lives. And if golf's part of your life, I really like you to enjoy your golf too. So that's it for this week. So until we meet again, may I wish you happy tee shots, happy fairways, and great golf, wherever you may be. Until we meet again.